Well, in Rolling Stone magazine, Matt Taibbi writes that Democrats are going to be claiming to be aligned with Occupy Wall Street. We want to take a look at that because Matt claims that Republicans are going to say protesters are puppets of liberals, and neither of these claims will be true. Matt Taibbi also points to emails that he and other journalists exchanged musing about the Wall Street movement. The emails were hacked and are now being used by right-wing bloggers as proof that Taibbi and others are advising the protesters. He says he hasn't even met one. And not all Democrats are enamored with the movement. Last night on MSNBC, Barney Frank asked Rachel Maddow, where were all those protesters when the Tea Party ushered in lawmakers who blocked his financial reform?
Being in a public place and voicing your opinion in and of itself doesn't do anything politically. It is the prerequisite, I hope, for people getting together and voting and engaging things. And I understand some of the people in Occupy Wall Street are kind of critical of that. They think that's conventional politics. Well, those are good ways to mobilize people. But if there is no follow-up in the kind of political action that the Tea Party engages in, it will dissipate its impact.
Well, so how do some of the Wall Street protesters feel about politics? Let's find out. Occupy Wall Street is in smaller U.S. cities as well. Today we're going to touch down in two. In a few minutes we go to Grand Rapids. But we'll start at the courthouse lawn in Missoula, Montana, with Kim Bostrom, who grew up there. She's 34 years old, an administrator for a Missoula biotech company. And Kim, on a lighter note, in Cincinnati there was a couple getting married at the courthouse where Occupy protesters gathered there, and when the protesters started to move, the couple said, no, we want you in the wedding. But there in Missoula where you are, when a wedding started and they said, geez, we're having a wedding here, what did you guys do?
Well, we used a very quiet consensus model to determine that we didn't really want to interrupt their pretty special day, and everybody quietly picked up our signs and moved to the other side of the lawn away from their wedding so that they could carry on. And I think they were pretty understanding and were good sports about it, and so were we.
You said you used a quiet consensus model, this idea of the General Assembly, that there has to be consensus and it's sometimes a tortuous process. How else have you been using it there in Missoula?
Pretty much all decisions are made according to that model, and I think people are really finding that it's amazing to feel like when you say something, it matters, as painful as it can be at times.
Well, and why are you there, Kim?
As many people as you ask here, you're going to find different reasons. I think the reason that everybody's here is because we're angry. The reason I'm angry is because I feel like a wealthy minority is controlling our so-called democracy. They control our food, our water, they're outsourcing our jobs. And this wealthy minority is kind of taking over the country, and we kind of want to take it back.
Well, in fact, in Missoula, there's a list of grievances of the wealthy, the multinational corporations who've taken bailouts from taxpayers with impunity and continue to give executives exorbitant bonuses, have poisoned the food supply through negligence, undermined the farming system. How does this all square with your employer, a Missoula biotech company?
Well, I'm on my lunch hour, so I'm not representing my employer right now.
How about it? How it's playing out in the current political scene? Polls show that over 50% of Americans support the Occupy Wall Street movement. The Washington Post is reporting that President Obama's reelection strategists are hoping to play that against Republican frontrunner Mitt Romney, who's a former investment executive. You know, your thoughts about, you know, becoming a pawn in a political chess game?
We're fighting it tooth and nail. We don't want to be co-opted. This is not a move to support Obama or the Democrats. I don't want anything to do with reelecting Democrats in general, but Obama specifically. I don't feel like he's represented the change that I had hoped for.
Well, and Mitt Romney has made some nods towards the group after first slamming it. He said recently that the reason you're seeing protests, middle-income Americans are having a hard time making ends meet.
He means nothing to me. He can come join us, but I think that he's one of the 1%.
What would be one thing that could happen that would tell you, because a lot of the things that the Occupy movement is asking for take time, jobs, you know, they aren't going to come by winter. So what would be one thing that could tell you that you've had an impact?
Well, there's, I hate that we're being set up as kind of capitalism and democracy or something else, which, you know, people like to term it communism, socialism. We're all being, you know, called all those names that people consider bad without really considering what they mean. And there are other things that haven't been created yet. We're smarter than that. We don't need to settle into this system or that system. We can create a new system, I think. And one that I'm interested in is the idea of nested councils, where people are assigned to a representative group similar to a jury duty. You don't get to go out and campaign for it. You're assigned to it. And when it's your turn to go and serve, you have to go and serve. It gives the community real true say in something that really affects them.
Nested councils. Kim Bostrom, again, an administrator for a Missoula biotech company, but on her lunch hour camped out on the county courthouse lawn with Occupy Missoula. Kim, thanks. And I understand Debbie is there standing with you. Can you pass the phone to her?
Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, this is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. I know you've asked that we just use your first name. You're 36, another Missoulian, long time, but unemployed?
I was employed with a full-time position as a program director as recently as last February. And since then, I've been working part-time here and there and finding ways to like patch it together while I'm looking for the next thing. And in the meantime, I've decided to commit my time to this movement because I feel very strongly that it's the first thing to come along in my life that solidifies a lot of the issues altogether.
And could you tick off what some of them are?
The chronic underemployment of a lot of my colleagues and friends is a big strain on a lot of people around me. Why is this happening? Sexism still exists in the workplace. Racism is everywhere. You know, these issues aren't necessarily being fully outed.
Do you understand how when there's criticism, it can be visceral?
Yeah.
There are people who, they're hearing things like that we should have a new government, we should have a new way of doing things, and to them that sounds anti-American.
I have yet to meet a person in the movement that is anti-American. I'm finding that a lot of the old, like, sentimental, patriotic songs are being sung, and people are really talking about that they're doing this because they love their country, and there's a lot of new sentiment being kind of brought back as they come together and learn how to participate in democracy. So I think people feel like that is the American way.
Well, we noticed here in Boston when there was an Occupy Boston march this past weekend, there were a lot of families with strollers, a lot of older people. What are you seeing there in Missoula?
Similar. The movement seems to be getting stereotyped as a student movement, but we've actually have yet to really get a lot of students over to our encampment. We have some, but I would say the majority are working people, and there's unemployed people here. There's a homeless population here that are starting to participate, and I'm a mother myself, and I bring my son here.
Debbie, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for your time.
We're touching down with Occupy protesters, first Missoula, Montana, now to Occupy Grand Rapids, Michigan, where 39-year-old Richard Ertl is studying network administration at Grand Rapids Community College while he freelances helping businesses set up computer networks. In Grand Rapids, protesters were first set up in a park, but police came and told them they had to move. And Richard, you'd all met in a general assembly and decided ahead of time that you would acquiesce.
The general consensus that we came to was that we wanted to be sure that everybody understood we respect the law enforcement officials, that they have a job to do, and that they're part of us, and that we don't want to cause any issues. We're simply here to let people know that we're here, for one, and to let people know that they have the right to speak and assemble.
I find that interesting that a decision was made in the General Assembly process to comply with the police request, so you did, and you relocated to, I understand, a church parking lot. We've done and read different reports on the genesis of all of this, but we know in New York it was a mix of union workers and New Yorkers against budget cuts, plus some global activists who'd been at austerity protests in Spain. What drew you to what's going on?
I am personally here simply because I feel that I have more of a chance to have my voice heard by the people that that should be listening to me. I'm tired of my government calling me a consumer. I'm a citizen. I wasn't born a United States consumer. I want my government to listen to me, not the businesses that are trying to manipulate me and trying to milk everything I've got from me. Why is it so difficult for my government to come to the agreement that healthcare is a priority, that we need to take care of it? Why is it that when it comes down to a jobs bill, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, but you can't tell me that all those people that voted via Republican or Democrat in Senate the other night, every single one of them went with what their constituents believed was right or wrong. So you're telling me all the Republican representatives in that Senate, their constituents, the majority of them, wanted them to vote against it, and the Democratic side the same way, wanted them to go with it? If they were listening to us, there'd be more mixture in the way that they vote. I want them to listen to me. I want to know that when I call Justin Amash, my congressman, that he's going to, you know, hey, I hear you, at least, you know, acknowledge that I exist.
You have freelance work, at least. It looks like you're studying to expand that. And you're 39 years old. What do you say to the critics of these Occupy movements who've said these are just, you know, long-haired anarchist hippie college students whose parents are paying for their, you know, cell phone charging? I mean, you've heard the criticism.
As far as actual response to them, you know, it's simply this. You're uneducated. You have no clue what's going on down here until you come down here and meet the people. We've got single moms that are sacrificing time and bringing their children down to be a part of a great dialogue of saying that we want to do something for our kids. We've got business people, people that own businesses, coming down here and saying, I want to support you in some way I can, but we don't know what we can do for you, so let's just hold a sign today. I have seen the majority of the people here go to college. You're right. The ones that are down here every day holding the signs and the ones that are camping, a lot of us do have more free time because we are students. But you got to realize this isn't New York. We don't have a large portion of people that are unemployed condensed so in such a small, tight area. You know, we're spread out here in West Michigan. The people that are able to be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, have made that commitment. And the people that have to actually go to work, you know, both husband and wife, and hope that they've got enough money to make it, you know, they come down when they can.
Richard Ertl, thank you so much. Can you do me a favor and pass the phone to Ryan Gilligan, who's standing there as well?
Absolutely. Thank you for taking the time to listen to me, Robin, and you have a great day.
Thank you, too.
Hi, Robin. This is Ryan Gilligan speaking. How are you today?
I'm good, Ryan. And I understand you are 23, a graduate of Grand Valley State University, hoping to write a book on the use of English, but meanwhile waiting tables. Do you
That's
remember
correct.
The moment that... You know, you decided, I'm going down there. What was it that got you down?
I was sitting in my room. I noticed by a good friend of mine, a post on Facebook saying something about Occupy Wall Street, and here's a video. And so I saw the video that just showed a couple hundred people. This was within the first week of the Occupy Wall Street movement. And I just felt, wow, they are coming together. They are being heard. And then I got towards the end of the video and I remembered the news corporations are refusing to cover this because of the way that they are involved with the CEOs of the companies, and that is what I would consider a big motivating factor that made me decide, okay, as soon as I can, I am going to do what I can to be involved. And the morning of the General Assembly, two Saturdays ago, I got another message on my Facebook wall, and I was there within, you know, an hour and a half of finding out.
You mean to Grand Rapids?
The Grand Rapids General Assembly, the first one on Saturday.
Well, and what's, if you just could put it in as brief a sentence as possible, why? What's your complaint?
Well, the main thing I would say is the fact that corporate companies have the ability to give unlimited amounts of money to campaign fundings so that they can get their desired officials and their desired policies in motion and in place so that they are in power without having to have the responsibility of their name being the instant culpable person or thing that people, you know, blame or attribute to the good or bad changes.
Yeah, well, especially with the recent Supreme Court ruling, people can make donations to these super PACs and remain anonymous. So, well, how long are you prepared to stay there, Ryan? You gotta do your table waiting, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of things that I'm working on myself, so I'm spending as much time as I can here without negatively affecting my future. My future is very important to me, as well as the future of everyone around me. And so that's the main message of us being here at Fulton and Division. It's just this idea of letting the town know that we have a group in our home city that is growing, it is committed, it is passionate. And we, you know, I can't speak for everyone, but from what I've observed, the majority of us have a great amount of hope.
That's Ryan Peter Gilligan, 23 years old, part of the Occupy Grand Rapids movement. Ryan, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you so much, Robin. It's been a pleasure.